uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Hello out there on the internet. I am Matthew Galt, and this is Cyber. You know, a lot of stuff happened on the internet this week. Strange orbs fell from the sky, or one strange orb, rather, fell from the sky and landed in Mexico. Thousands watched online as Nancy Pelosi's plane slowly made its way to Taiwan. And the International Atomic Energy Agency called out Russia for making Europe's biggest nuclear power plant a front in its war in Ukraine. It's a grab bag episode of Cyber this week, and we're going to get into all of it with Motherboard Editor-in-Chief Jason Kebler. Jason, thank you so much for once again coming on to the show and walking us through everything that's going on.
I had to beg and plead. What's a guy got to do to get on the show these days?
I said, well, I guess we could have you on since you're in charge, maybe.
It's nepotism in action.
It is. You shouldn't
really putting my finger on the scale.
Yeah, you shouldn't be here, but we had to say yes, so here we go. So
yeah, a little peek behind the curtain is we didn't have any other ideas this week. It's been a really busy week, but there's been a lot of, like, we talked about the Alex Jones trial. That's still a big thing in the news. The verdict is expected today, but we already did that. We're going to talk about Roblox, but Joseph is MIA. He's on vacay.
He's in the woods somewhere. Yeah.
Undisclosed location.
It's funny. I told Anna yesterday that I really wish we had done like the Alex Jones trial today, just because it got so wild yesterday. But you know, ship has sailed. What can you do? You can talk about space junk. You can talk about mystery orbs.
Should we mention briefly that Alex Jones's attorney accidentally gave the defense attorney a copy of Alex Jones's phone?
I have problems with the word accidentally, but yeah, I think we should. We should, as a follow-up to the last episode. We've both been following it. It was kind of incredible to watch.
I mean, that's basically the story.
Like, yeah.
Alex Jones is testifying in this damages trial, and under cross-examination, the prosecuting attorney says, "Do you know what perjury is? We have your phone. Your lawyer sent it to us. Did not ask for it to be privileged somehow. And we have all of your text messages for the last several years." And now they're giving it to the January 6th commission. It's wild shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we don't even know what the fallout from it is going to be, and probably won't for months. Because I'm sure that's a lot of information that's 2 years of texts and emails from Alex Jones. I can't even fathom what's in there.
There's like a lot of people whose phones I would like to see, who I would like a full copy of their phone, just to see what their reality is like, see what they're saying, who they're talking to. I would say Alex Jones is really high up on my list for phones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phones to acquire. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Patty Padman from the chat says the keyword search on that phone will be insane. And yeah, I think it will be. I'm also wondering just how much of it ends up filtering out to the public, as these things tend to do with these high profile cases. But again, it'll probably be a while until we know what's going on. Do we know when the verdict's coming down? The jury is
today, like probably any, I mean, we're recording this at 1 PM Eastern. The jury's deliberating right now. So I don't know, in the next couple hours, probably. It's expected today.
Okay.
Probably not during this, during this recording, but if it happens, we'll let you know.
Right. And this is not the last case he's going to face. I think that's really important to underscore too, is like there's more of these kinds of cases coming in Alex Jones's life in the near future. So yeah. All right. So there's your Alex Jones update. So the other, one of the stories that you were kind of obsessed with this week, you made a TikTok about it. You wrote about it personally yourself. Was a mysterious orb that landed in Mexico. What's the deal here?
The orb, baby. Like, you haven't heard about the orb yet? Get with the picture. So on Sunday night around like 11 p.m., this meteorologist named Isidro Cano Luna, who is like a TV meteorologist in Veracruz, Mexico, which is this city on the Gulf of Mexico in southeastern Mexico, goes on Facebook and posts pictures of this orb. Can we show the orb? Oh, there's the orb. I see it. So for those listening, it's just like a big bronze ball with the seemingly an antenna coming out of it. And he posts a picture of this and he's like, this gigantic metallic sphere just fell on a tree in Mexico. It could be radioactive. Everyone stay far away from it. He posts this like a couple hours after being like, hey, it's going to rain today. Like just kind of out of the blue. This guy has, you know, 150,000 followers on Facebook, just like somewhat prominent in the local community, is like a TV journalist. Then he comes back a few minutes later and updates, and he's like, following up on the metallic sphere that fell on top of a tree, it should not be opened or tried to be opened. We need to get the Mexican Navy or military to come collect it and study it, because I've seen on the outside of the sphere, there's a secret code, but no hole or slit through which it can be opened. And then he says that the sphere has a timing mechanism on it that will eventually uncover, quote, valuable information. And then he goes away, and then he comes back the next day and he's like, hey, it's going to rain today. There's like a low pressure front coming through Veracruz, like everything back to normal. And then he makes one final post and he's like, I've confirmed that this orb is made up of seven different alloys. It was removed by top secret personnel. It has left the state of Veracruz and is perhaps going to leave the country of Mexico for analysis. And it's like just a very wild series of Facebook posts from a guy who, this is like a 70-year-old man who has like a 30 or 40 year career in meteorology and just like newscasting. And he posts all this stuff and it's like, I don't know, we don't have really any information about the orb. Our only real information comes from this guy. I'm not really sure what the deal is, but it's like we've spent the last couple of days trying to figure out what's going on with this orb, because it looks to me like it could be, I don't know, part of a weather satellite or part like space junk, weather balloon. I'm not really sure, but it seemingly captured the information, the attention and imagination of a lot of different people. I don't know what you think of the orb, Matt.
My personal favorite thing that you didn't read off that he said is, personal suggestion, and this is always in all caps, do not touch it or get close to it until it is reviewed by specialists. It may be radioactive. And then at the end of his last statement, the object is no longer in the state of Veracruz and its final destination will be beyond our borders. Will the authorities say that this was a joke or fake news? National security issue. Closed. Yeah,
no, I'm just so thankful that the people of Veracruz no longer have to worry about the chromatic time locked sphere.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's secret information and radioactivity.
This does strike me as a weather satellite or something like that, right? Like stuff falls from the sky pretty often. You know,
so the reason that this was interesting, and we're going to get to it, is like, is this aliens? No, it does not seem to be aliens. Like, I don't think that it's aliens. Did this actually fall from the sky? Seemingly. I mean, it's a big metal thing and it's clearly on top of a tree. I'm not really sure how something like that gets there. Like, it could obviously be put there by crane. It looks heavy to me. But it was like a banner weekend for items falling from space. There's like a lot of shit that hit the ground from space all weekend. And so most likely this is part of a Chinese satellite. I believe that parts of fell near the Philippines, parts of it fell in the Indian Ocean, parts of it fell in Malaysia. And then sort of less expectedly, there was debris from a SpaceX Dragon crew vessel that hit like three different parts of Australia. And there were all these photos of people being like, what the fuck? There's this, this satellite has just hit in my backyard or hit down the street or whatever. And so there's been like various scientific studies showing, like we've written about them, showing that increasingly like satellites, space junk, parts of space stations, various things just like fall from the sky sometimes. And, I suspect that's what happened here. I've gotten a lot of emails since we published this story about what it could be. And side note, if you know what this orb is, please let me know. Lots of theories, some of them crazier than others, but a lot of people are like, we think that this is probably like an oxygen canister or something like that from a Chinese rocket, the Chinese rocket, although no one's been able to like show me the orb on a spacecraft, like, you know, from historic pictures and then compared to this. So it's still not confirmed. It's been like 5 days. No one has really like figured out what it is yet, to my knowledge. And I was unable to get in touch with Mexican authorities who allegedly took this off somewhere. I did get an email from a person who said that he thinks it's his DIY spacecraft, which is not credible, but was a really fun email chain where he was like, a few years ago, I put a bunch of items into an orb that looked exactly like this, and including a single unloaded firearm, and launched it into space and tried to send it beyond our solar system. And I did it. I did this all in secret. I didn't take any photos of it because I knew it was a crime, but like, this is my orb. Like, I claim responsibility for the orb.
This is my orb.
Yeah. He's like, I think I know what happened to the orb. It's my orb. I launched it in 2018, and it's like, it didn't make it out of the solar system clearly, but clearly it made it, you know, he said it went to a Martian moon and somehow came back here, which, to be clear to everyone, I do not think that this is a credible story, but it's captured the imagination of various people. A lot of people think it's like part of a DIY, like weather balloon type thing, which wouldn't be an orbital thing. It would be, you know, like an atmospheric weather balloon, of which there are a lot. I don't know. If you know what the orb is, please let me know. It's bothering me.
Well, tell me about the stuff that we know a little bit more about. Tell me about the Chinese rocket and the SpaceX story.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that there's honestly not that much to say about it other than when we launch things into space, like, depending on where it is in orbit, like, things only stay in orbit for so long. Like, eventually things will either deorbit because they're pushed out of orbit on purpose because space is getting really crowded. So there's been a few different projects to like deorbit things. There's been talk of trying to deorbit the International Space Station, although its lifespan has been extended like time after time after time. So no, I don't know of any plans now to deorbit it. But it's like when you launch things into space, depending on where the orbit is, sometimes the rocket comes back down. And I believe we call this like an uncontrolled reentry, depending on like where and how it comes back to Earth. And there was a scientific paper, I need to pull it up, but it's like there was recently a study done by scientists sort of tracking the probability of a spacecraft like landing on your house and killing you. And the odds are like shockingly high. Not that it's going to kill any individual person, but there's like, I think it's like a 1 in 10 chance that in the next 10 years, like a rocket or spaceship will fall from orbit and hit a human being and kill them. Let me pull up that number because it might be wrong, but yeah, it's like this stuff happens to deorbit sometimes. This Chinese rocket needed to like came back down sort of in an uncontrolled fashion. It hit all over different parts of Asia. The SpaceX Dragon debris came down in 3 different parts all over Australia. And it's like when this stuff falls back to Earth, it's like there's no real way of controlling it. It just hits wherever it hits.
It's now I'm deep in this internet rabbit hole. I'm sure people listening are fascinated, but apparently there are already treaties governing the liability of who pays who off if a rocket hits your house that comes in from space, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, so I just found the story. We published it last month. The headline is, there's a 10% chance rocket debris will kill someone on Earth this decade, studies find. And they find that that most likely it's going to hit someone in the global south, I believe, because there's just more population there. But yeah, it's, quote, Jakarta, Dhaka, Mexico City, Bogota, and Lagos are at least three times as likely as Washington, D.C., New York, Beijing, and Moscow to have a rocket body re-enter over them on the basis of the current rocket body population in orbit. So I guess they studied the orbital patterns of these satellites and basically found that, like, when these things deorbit, they're more likely to be over the southern hemisphere than the northern hemisphere.
So what can you tell me about some of the efforts to clean up this space junk, deorbit this stuff? Because I mean, I imagine as more and more of us are interested in going out there, going to space, doing more in space, this is going to be a kind of a big problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the plot of the film Gravity, starring George Clooney and Susan Sarandon. Not Susan Sarandon.
Wow.
Someone.
Wow.
Who is his co-star in that movie?
She was the star. She was the star.
I know. What is her name? Julia Roberts? Roberts?
No. This is the sad thing is I just shamed you for not knowing, and I can see her face.
And you have no idea.
I know
idea.
She's from Austin. No idea either. I know she's from Texas.
Okay. In any case, it's the plot of that science fiction movie, and it's like that's based on a real theory, which is basically like there's a lot of space junk in low Earth orbit. Basically by Sandra Bullock. Thank you, Emily. Basically by like the grace of luck, as well as the fact that the International Space Station can sort of move itself around orbit, like they can do little thrusts here and there to avoid big pieces of space junk. Like the International Space Station hasn't been blown up by, rocks hurtling, like little pieces of satellites and other space junk that breaks off of other satellites. Like that hasn't happened yet, but basically like there's this theory, which I'm not remembering the name of the theory right now, but basically it's like, once it's like a chain reaction, like crashes in space in low orbit will create additional pieces of space junk, because when things hit each other, they break into more pieces. And then you get sort of, runaway effect where, eventually, the theory is that like low Earth orbit will be impenetrable to satellites or rockets or whatever. And it's like we're a really long way away from that, but that is like the sort of big fear. And so like NASA and the European Space Administration and all these other governments, government space programs have, and a lot of universities as well, have been trying to track space junk. They've basically tried to make a survey of like where it is, their orbital patterns, and have tried to sort of like track smaller asteroids, the ones that are harder to find, as well as bigger pieces of space junk that we've created, sort of just like our trash in orbit, to avoid this from like prevent this from happening. The other thing is there have been a couple conceptual plans to basically like put a giant net into space and go around with like a little spaceship in space and catch little pieces of space junk and deorbit them safely. These are mostly within the realm of like conceptual drawings and concept art and stuff like that. Like it's not really something that has been done well to my knowledge, but it's something that scientists have been talking about for a while. The other thing that I should mention is a few years ago, like maybe a decade ago, China purposefully blew up one of its own satellites with a missile just to prove that it could, as sort of like a show of power. And that created like thousands and thousands of little pieces of space junk that are really tough to track. It was considered to be like a very dangerous thing to do. And it's considered to still be a threat because this stuff orbits for years and years and years before it eventually falls out of space.
Showing some of the nets to the audience right now. All right, cyber listeners, while you stare at these nets or imagine them in your head if you're on the podcast, we are going to take a brief break. If you are listening to the show on the podcast, we will be back after these messages from our sponsors. If you are watching the Twitch stream, we will be back immediately.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, cyber listeners, thank you for sticking around. This is Matthew Galt. I'm on with Jason Kebler, Motherboard's editor-in-chief, and we are going through all of the wild stories that we published on Motherboard this week. Let's talk about a controversial topic, Jason. Let's talk about Taiwan. So we had a couple stories about Taiwan this week. The first one that really caught my eye was the flight tracking. It seemed like everybody in the world was watching Nancy Pelosi's plane as it went through the sky and was going to Taiwan. Why did everyone care? And what were the sites people were using to watch? And kind of how else have they been involved in the news lately?
Yeah, hashtag when will Nancy land, right? I am not an expert in this topic, in the topic of like, so basically Taiwan is an independently governed territory / country in Asia, obviously, that China claims as its own. And it's highly, highly contentious. China wants to reunify it sort of after Russia invaded Ukraine. There was all of this talk about would China be emboldened to, quote, reunify with Taiwan, which means basically invade Taiwan, take it over, and make it part of this larger, quote, one China that China believes is part of its territory. This is a highly contentious topic in politics for a variety of reasons, most of which is China is a very powerful country, and we have a very uneasy peace with them, I guess you'd say. And so, I mean, any time that, you know, an NBA player makes a comment about Hong Kong or Taiwan or, you know, Chinese censorship, so on and so forth, it's like our economic interests and China's economic interests are so deeply intertwined that it's like many people just simply walk on eggshells around this topic. And so no high-ranking American official has been to Taiwan for like several decades. And sort of during this period of like increased tension because of the Russia-Ukraine conflict and sort of because people sort of looking at that conflict, that war, that invasion and saying like, you know, this could be bad for Taiwan because maybe China will try to take Taiwan back. Xi over in China has been saying for a long time that it is part of his plan to reunify China, like eventually. And it is generally perceived that if China tries to take back Taiwan, it would be a very bad thing for the world. Like it would be similar. I mean, you can probably speak more to this than I can, but similar to Russia invading Ukraine, it's like, it'd be similar to that in that the world is so interdependent on China at this point that like we would be in a very difficult spot economically as to like, what do we do here? Do we provide military support? Do we do embargoes with China? Like what would be the knock-on ramifications of that? So on and so forth. And so basically like the US government has this policy where it recognizes Taiwan, but also doesn't kind of. Is this accurate, Matt?
Yeah, it's Schrodinger's country, if we can even call it a country. I'm sure there's listeners that are yelling at us right now like they were with Sandra Bullock. But yeah, I think you did a fairly good job of summarizing that.
Yeah, and so Nancy Pelosi, who like is just simply like very controversial of late, partially because she is just very out of touch with everything. She's part of America's gerontocracy. She has been making these wild stock trades, like buying NVIDIA stock one day, selling it the next, like all of these accusations of just like using her power in ways that are really weird.
Yeah. And that's a super interesting wrinkle of this that I didn't see reported a whole lot. It's like Taiwan is responsible for the bulk of silicon and chip manufacturing,
which is just like a huge, you know, another huge topic in American politics right now. We just passed the CHIPS Act. And so it's like we passed the CHIPS Act and then Nancy is like, yo, I'm going to Taiwan. You can't stop me. She's like, I'm going to lead a congressional delegation to Taiwan. And basically like the Biden administration is like, please don't do that. Taiwan is like, please don't do that. China is like, definitely don't do that. It's going to be really bad if you do that. Like, we're going to be really mad if you do that. And Nancy Pelosi is like, I'm going anyway. And so like the Pentagon has been like, please don't do this. The Biden, everyone is like, don't do this, Nancy. Like, don't go. Like, why are you going? What is the point of going? Taiwan doesn't want you to come. Like, Taiwan straight up said, like, do not come. And so Nancy goes anyway. And so all these people have been tracking, like, we're tracking her plane on the way there. And thanks to sort of the way that planes work, which, you know, they have various flight tracking things on board. They have something called ADS-B, something called MLAT. These are transponders that basically, you know, are used by air traffic control and also are used for plane-to-plane communication, plane-to-ground communication, plane-to-satellite communication to make sure that planes don't crash into each other. It also allows the planes to be tracked. And a lot of this data is just, it's like open source. And so people started tracking Nancy's flight because she got on the plane and they were like, is she actually going to Taiwan? Like, up until the last minute, it's like, we actually didn't know if she was going to Taiwan or if she was going to Asia. Like, there was reporting saying she was going to Taiwan, but people weren't quite sure if she'd call it off last minute, especially after the Taiwanese government was like, we don't want this heat. Like, don't come here. We don't want you here. But yeah, she went anyway. And so it was a big thing earlier this week on Twitter where people were using this website called Flight Radar 24 to track Nancy's plane. And then, you know, as she got closer and closer to Taiwan, the site got hugged to death by just like tons and tons of traffic and ultimately like went down. And so then there was this moment like, well, it seems like she's going to Taiwan, but the flight tracking website that most people are using went down, so I don't know, maybe like, has she landed yet, was basically like the conversation online.
All right, let's since we kind of brought up Ukraine and all of that, let's switch over to something that I wrote about this week, and you can be the host and I'll be the guest. So I'm gonna punt the ball to you.
Can I have the host hat?
Can you have the host hat? Yeah, here I'm putting, there we go, I'm putting the host hat on you. So
thank you.
You're very welcome.
Someone in chat says that Taiwan wanted it, but the rest of Asia Pacific didn't. I mean, that was sort of how it started. But once China was like, there will be pain if this happens, like toward like in the last sort of 12 to 24 hours before that, they were like, I don't think that this is worth it. I don't have the article in front of me, but that's as I remember it. They were like, please, just don't come. I could be misremembering that, but that is the reporting that I saw. Anyways, so yes, nuclear power. What's going on here? We have the war rages on in Ukraine because we all have the attention spans of goldfish. We are not talking about it as much as we were in February, March, April, etc. But war continues there. And the United Nations was like, hey guys, like, by the way, did you realize that there's a bunch of fighting near one of Europe's most important nuclear power plants? And I'll throw it to you there. What the hell is going on?
So the reason this is back in the news this week is that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, their head, Rafael Grossi, and I'm going to screw up some names, the pronunciation of them, just letting everyone know now, gave an interview with the Associated Press where he said, the situation in Europe's biggest power plant is, quote, completely out of control. And IAEA inspectors and regulators need to be let into this power plant to see what the hell's going on. So the situation is this, and this thing has been, this power plant has been in and out of the news since the war started.
This is the power plant that got bombed at the offset where like there was this huge scare and then it ended up being like an administrative building that was bombed, right? Like this is the same one.
Yeah. So February 24th, Russia, shall we put this, does its invasion proper. I would argue that it had invaded years ago, but ups its invasion, goes in. One of the places it goes is to this power plant, which is in southeast Ukraine, Zaporizhia, I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's the biggest power. It's the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. And then around March 4th, they take it over. And before they had taken it over, there's a huge firefight there. And there are live CCTV cameras that are live streamed to the internet, and people watched the firefight as it was happening. Something like 95,000 people. You could see the tracers flying through the air, and something caught fire, and everyone panicked and worried that we were going to have another Chernobyl, basically. There's a lot of good reasons to suspect that another, even if something really bad there did happen, it wouldn't be another Chernobyl, but we can get into that. But turns out it was an administrative building that had caught fire. It wasn't quite close enough to any of the nuclear stuff for it to get really bad. The fire got put out. But Russia took over the power plant. And since then, they have kept, they've been in control of it. But it's, you've got this very odd situation where it's on the bank of a river, and across the river is Ukraine-held territory. Russia's controlling the power plant, but everyone that's working at the power plant is Ukrainian. And obviously, you know, not super happy about the situation. So they're like cycling workers in and out, and Ukrainian officials that work for like the energy companies and atomic regulators are crossing the front line and going in and out and bringing supplies and like keeping the plant running as best they can in the circumstances, you know, under which they find themselves. And the IAEA has been pretty vocal about this kind of the entire time. And then this week had some really strident words. And I think the reason that they did, I'm just going to read some more quotes here. Every principle of nuclear safety has been violated. What is at stake here is extremely serious and extremely grave and dangerous. When you put this together, you have a catalog of things that should never be happening in any nuclear facility. And this is why I've been insisting from day one that we have to be able to go in there and perform this safety and security evaluation to do repairs and to assist, as we've already done in Chernobyl. They were eventually, IAEA did inspect Chernobyl and help get things back up and running there and safe, ostensibly. But, okay, so why now did this become like an AP story? And it's, I think, because we know a little bit more about how Russia has been conducting itself. It has, the New York Times said that they've turned this power plant into a fortress. And I think that's a pretty apt description. So, oh, am I muted? Did I mute
Russia
myself?
Russia is, no, you're good. We're here. I'm here. No, is the chat mad?
Yeah, chat's mad. I seem to
have. Oh, you muted yourself.
I seem to have, I muted myself.
I can hear Matt. I'm going to pretend like I'm Matt and repeat what he said while he types, clicks some buttons. So Russia has been using this power plant as a quote fortress, and has been launching.
Yeah. So it's more than just, it's more than just launching. Like they have, so again, this is on the bank of a river. Ukrainian cities are across the river from it. Russia has been launching artillery attacks near into those Ukrainian cities from the bank of the river right next to the nuclear power plant. And they're also staging military assets around the stuff in the nuclear power plant. Like armored personnel carriers are blocking one of the routes that you would use, like if the plant were to catch fire and everyone needed to be evacuated. There's like a big armored personnel carrier there just right in the way. After they fire their artillery, they retreat it into the nuclear power plant. And this is obviously because you can't do a counterattack. Like Ukraine would not do a counterattack.
Like, hey, you want to bomb us? Yeah. You have to bomb this nuclear power plant, or you have to get really close to it. And that is very dangerous. And no one wants that.
And the situation is getting increasingly dangerous because Ukraine, with the use of the HIMARS that have been gifted to them by America, has been striking back, has been doing a pretty big counterattack push, and they want to get across that river and retake the power plant and retake Kherson. Well, how do you do that without, you know, blowing up a nuclear power plant? And we know, like, it could be very bad, but the way this particular power plant was designed is not as dire as Chernobyl. It probably, like, if it were to explode, it probably wouldn't be as bad as, you know, in the grand scheme of, like, nuclear accidents, it would probably be more localized. Still be bad.
Matt has been spending months being like, this nuclear disaster, not so bad. Not so bad.
It would be okay.
No, I mean, no, but the actual specifics around it are because the reactor is like deep underground, correct?
Yes, it's deep underground. It's designed in a different way. It's more segmented off. So like during the fighting, one of the reactors was actually hit by shrapnel during the initial fighting, but it didn't do, you know, anything, because they're better protected and better set up. We've learned a lot. This one was built in 1980 and then first turned on in 1985. And between then and like the time that Chernobyl was built, like everyone has learned a lot, and we've learned a lot even more now. The nuclear power gets a little bit more safe every year, but it's still frightening. It's still terrifying. And the IAEA is like, hey, can we just get in there and figure out what's going on? You know, we've got some contact with the Ukrainians that are in the building. We know they're not happy, but we would really love to come in and just like be some sort of impartial arbiter to just make sure that, you know, there's not a new.
The UN loves saying that. The UN really loves to be like, let us check this out. And then I feel like they haven't been terribly effective during the Ukrainian war thus far. Although, you know,
I mean,
to the UN,
we could do a whole episode about the ineffectiveness of international regulatory agencies when it comes to this kind of thing. But it's a different show.
Yeah, I mean, what other global conflicts can I get way out over my skis on? you ask me questions about things that I know a little bit about and then just really fuck up the details.
Right. I mean, we could talk about blue helmets in Africa. That would be a super fun and depressing one, but we won't. Let's not do that.
Yeah. A lot going on this week, though. It's been, as we said at the top, it's like so much has happened that, you know, we have orbs falling, we have spaceships falling, we have Nancy doing whatever she's doing. We have, you know, we didn't even mention that the UN was like, hey, we're also worried about regular nuclear war.
Yeah, that also happened. That also happened this week. I can't remember who said it, but they said something to the effect of one small miscalculation in current world events could lead to a nuclear war, which is bad. Yeah. You know, like Russia.
They're always saying that too, though. It's like the everyone's always saying that if someone launches a nuclear weapon, it would be bad.
Yeah, but I would argue that the conditions right now, we've got rising tension among the three biggest superpowers, China, Russia, America. We have a reversal of a decades long trend of drawing down tensions and dismantling nuclear weapons. China is building ICBM bunkers and probably building more nuclear weapons. It had a pretty small cachet compared especially to Russia and China. Russia has been talking about all the cool new nuclear stuff that it wants to build and is building. So there's reason to be fearful of nukes again. New York City is releasing
PSAs. New York City is like, by the way, if we get nuked, go inside and take a shower. Don't panic. Go inside and take a shower. Turn on the TV immediately. Turn on cyber. Listen to cyber and everything will be okay.
Very important. If you do get nuked, yeah, don't use hair conditioner. Do not use conditioner because it will bond with the nuclear molecules and keep it in your hair. Very bad. Only shampoo. My little tip to you if you get nuked.
Should we leave it there? I feel like ending on a life-saving piece of advice is a good place to go.
I think that's the perfect place to go. Jason, thank you so much for coming on to this Grab Bag Cyber and, you know, just having a good old time talking about orbs and nuclear war with me.
I had a good time.
If you guys like the show and you want to see it live as it is recorded, please follow us on Twitch. It's at twitch.tv/motherboardtv. And Joseph will be out of the woods, so there will probably be some hacking stuff next week. Lorenzo's going to conference. It's gonna be a good time. Maybe we'll get to talk about Roblox. Maybe. Awesome.
We're not talking about Roblox.
I'm gonna keep teasing Roblox. The story that will never happen.
I'm back in 2023 for Roblox. We're working on a real special episode.
Goodbye, everybody.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.